go. And we have seen this slide before. Before a study, we have the IV, the DV, and infinity minus two potential confounds. After we have, or the researcher has worked their magic, the IV is the IV, the DV is the DV, and the whole idea is to turn things into control variables and not allow them to be confounds. So now we're going to talk about the same thing that we talked about on that handout. Then we'll go back to the handout. Like IVs, potential confounds are causal variables. That was one of the study questions. How are IV, compare and contrast IVs and confounds? IVs and confounds are both causal variables. The IV is the causal variable we're trying to study. The confound is what screws up our ability to study the relationship between the IV and the DV. They are variables that we think or fear could have a causal influence on the subject's DV score. If equivalent on average across IV conditions, then they are control variables and contribute to the causal interpretability. If non-equivalent on average across IV conditions, they are confounds and introduce alternative explanations of why the DV scores differed across the IV conditions. So candidates for confounding variables are variables that the researchers in your area have attempted to control, and variables known to be causal influences that are not your IV in your study. Or the way I said about this before, everybody else's confounds are your confounds. Everybody else's IVs that are not your IVs are your confounds. And the problem is, it's a moving target. Every time we identify a new causal variable, that is a new confound for everybody else. That's why things like random assignment can be better than holding constant. That's why we talked about random assignment to procedural alternatives, which, to be honest, isn't something that's in most methods books. It's in most methods discussions, but it's not in methods books. If I have multiple procedural alternatives, I don't want, the easiest case is research assistants. I have two research assistants. You absolutely, totally don't want one to run the experimental condition and the other to run the control condition. That would be a perfect confound. So after you have randomly assigned people to IV conditions to try and control initial equivalence of measured subject variables, you then randomly assign them to procedural alternatives to control that particular procedural confound. So keep in mind these candidates for confounding variables. Why are initial and ongoing equivalence on average sufficient for causal interpretation? I mean, the obvious thing that we want to do is make everything except the IV a constant. That we bring in people who are clones of each other, so there are no subject variables left that could be having an influence on the dependent variable. And then you discover variables that you didn't know about. We make sure that every element of the procedure is held constant except the DV. The DV measurement and the particular IV manipulation. It's not going to work, because that means that we have to pick one population, one setting, one task stimulus. And we want more than that. We want to be able to have some variability that isn't causing the dependent variable, so it has to be equivalent on average. But why is on average sufficient? When we make the causal IV-DV inference or interpretation, it's based on IV differences across the IV conditions. I know, that's a simple place to start, but you got to have it. The independent variable needs to be a variable. There need to be different conditions, and it needs to be beautifully controlled. That everybody in here got this manipulation, and everybody here got that manipulation, because it starts with IV differences across the IV conditions. Mean differences on the DV across IV conditions tells us there's a statistical IV-DV relationship. If there's no other differences between the IV condition than the IV per se, there's now only one logical reason for the statistical relationship. If the IV and the DV are related, and nothing but the IV could possibly be causing the DV, it has to be the IV that's causing the DV. You with me? That's the logic. We create IV differences. That produces DV differences. If nothing else is around to produce those differences, it must have been the IV. Another version of this. Individual may vary on subject or procedural variables that influence their individual DV scores. When we say procedural constants and procedural control, we know it's not complete and real. Research associates have moods and better days and poorer days. There's times when there's something that causes a rush or causes a hurry or causes a slowdown. Sometimes there's things going on that happened before the person got into the room. It's just we do what we can, but we know it's not complete. Some folks in any condition will be higher and some lower on each of the potential confounds than folks in other conditions, creating higher or lower DV scores. That's what we call individual differences. It's what statisticians call error, because we have no idea why people who are in the same condition have different scores. When I say we have no idea, I mean there's nothing in the statistical model that can help us understand that. We know why there's differences between groups. We were trying to do that. We don't know why there's differences within groups because we were trying not to do that. So, as long as there are no variables that are different on average across the IV conditions, then the average DV differences across the IV conditions are caused by the IV on average. What we're saying is that this mean difference is a combination of the IV having a directional impact and a whole bunch of confounds having a non-directional impact. That the confounds, the little bitty confounds that are left over that we couldn't control, basically are pushing different people in different directions. We end up with about the right mean and a slightly inflated standard deviation. But that's why comparability on average is sufficient, because we're comparing the groups on their average DV. You with me? So they only have to be comparable on average on the potential confounds. Everything doesn't have to be a constant. Good damn thing. All right, one more time, I want to hit the difference between this language because this gets sloppified quickly, often, and forever. Self-selection, self-assignment. Selection is about the population part of external validity. It's whether or not those who self-select to participate in the study represent the population of interest. There's been some wonderful work done on what are the attribution differences of researcher-selected and self-selected populations or samples. Some really cool shit has been done. Why aren't we talking about that? Because different research areas have found fundamentally different attributions of what variables tend to differ. It turns out that the study you're volunteering for or agreeing to participate having been selected is really important. And filling out questionnaires produces a different researcher-selected, self-selected difference than a medical treatment or a clinical treatment. You with me? And so if you should go into your research area. If you can find a book, if you can find a research methods book for your research area, in the external validity chapter, there will be a nice discussion of what we think is going on in your area. And then you pick it up for three or four other areas and they don't match. So I'm going to warn you that typically researcher-selected samples are a little better, a little more heterogeneous, a little more cover the population than self-selected. But what the difference between the researcher and self-selected is going to be, I'm not brave enough to guess, because it differs across research areas and literally kinds of dependent variables and kinds of procedures. Self-assignment. Self-assignment is putting yourself in a particular condition of the study. So remember, selection is external population validity. Assignment is internal initial equivalence. You got to be very careful about how these terms are used, because they're sometimes used interchangeably. Sometimes either one is used to mean both. You sometimes have to police this in yourself and others. All right, you need to distinguish among three different kinds of non-experimental IVs. Self-assignment to a researcher-manipulated IV condition. Participants select the IV condition they will be in, then the researcher manipulates the IV. So each surgical candidate was asked whether they would prefer the standard or the experimenter, and the experimental, and then they were given surgery. They didn't do their own surgery. Surgeon did the surgery. So we still have manipulation, but we don't have proper random assignment before the manipulation, so we don't have causally interpretable set of data. Non-researcher manipulated IV. Assignment other than by random assignment by the researcher, and IV manipulation other than by the researcher. So we don't have a true experiment, and we probably have a bad start at ongoing equivalence. Remember, the beginning of ongoing equivalence is the beginning of the manipulation of the independent variable. If that has done sloppily, then we've got confounds. Ongoing equivalence procedural confounds. And third, a subject variable or measured IV. Participants are assigned, notice the quotes, are assigned to the IV condition based on some measured personal attribute. There's no assignment going on. There's no manipulation going on. They show up. We say, oh, you're one of them. You're going to be in this part of the database. Well, you're one of those. You're going to be in this part of the database. And it still might be called an IV, and it might still be called assignment. One of my research methodologists when I was in graduate school used to say, that's the difference between assigned and recognized. I recognize that you're an introvert. I didn't make you an introvert. I didn't poof you. He's the guy who came up with poof. I didn't poof you into being an introvert. I just recognized you're an introvert. I gave you a questionnaire. You scored above a certain amount. Not poof. Different.